Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now are your hosts, Zach Clinton and Brooke Bryan.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this edition of the Built Different Podcast. Woo! We'll be your host. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brooke.
And Brooke, it is Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, it is. Turkey time.
I was about to say, I hope you got an empty stomach for Thursday evening.
You know I do, Zach.
You've been doing all the conditioning and stuff, so
yeah.
I know you're hungry.
Yeah, I already burned all the calories off. Time to put them all back in.
Brooke, as we reflect on this week of giving thanks, I just want to ask you up front, what are some things that like you're very thankful for in this season and walk of life?
Yes, that is such a good question. And I think it's just so important to think about what we're thankful for, because our worries and our anxieties can get so big. And 100%. I think thankfulness, gratefulness puts those in perspective of just how blessed we are. Mm. When you asked that, what instantly came to mind was three people. Isaac, my boyfriend, and my two best friends, Hannah and Lizzie. And the reason why I'm so grateful for them right now in this season is they're just straight up my gospel partners. Mm. Like, they are my ride or die people who spur me on to love and good deeds. Mm. And they're people who hold me accountable, people who pray continually with me. Mm. This morning I was reading in Acts 1, and it was talking about how the apostles came together in the upper room and they prayed continually. Mm. And I was like, dang, that's like my people. Like, we just come together, we pray, and we praise the Lord for what he's doing and beg him for things that are to come. And I definitely see you also a part of that group, Zach. Like, just our time together doing this podcast has been, like, such a blessing, because we both love doing this. It's fun that we've been just growing and learning through it. And, like, the community of people, the Built Different Podcast community has just been so incredible. So thank you for welcoming me into it.
Absolutely. Brooke, number one would obviously be my wife, Evelyn. She is amazing. She is truly so kind and so hardworking, and she always pushes me to be, you know, the best version of myself. And like you said, she is my straight gospel partner, diving in the Word together, just growing in our faith together. I think two things, if you're married out there, that you need to do together are be in the Word together and pray together.
Yes,
like those are so vital to any marriage and relationship, really, in general. But sharing that in the union of marriage is so, so special. So I'm so thankful for Evelyn. I know you listened to all the episodes, so you should be smiling right now. But anyways.
Hey, and if you guys can't see Zach's face right now, but he is lighting up. That's what's up right there.
Yeah, so Evelyn's number one. And then obviously my family, my friends. I think of some of my best friends like Josh Barrick and Tyler Newman and Parker Bean and some of those guys. Man, they always are pushing me, and Trevor DeLate. I mean, guys like that, they're always pushing me to be the best version of myself. I'm just so incredibly thankful for them and just this walk of life that they have embarked on with me. Yeah, it's been amazing.
I love that.
It really has. But Brooke, since we talked about what we're thankful for, another thing that I'm thankful for is what we're going to hear in just a few moments.
Oh my gosh.
Because it is powerful hearing the testimony of one of the greatest legends of Major League Baseball, Mr. Daryl Strawberry. I mean, it's so powerful. I think what has really just hit home with me about Daryl's story and what we were just talking about before we jumped on here was how somebody who has achieved everything on this earth, earthly success, right? That we look at, we put them on a pedestal. He's the number one overall draft pick. Then he goes on to being National League Rookie of the Year. He has four World Series championships. I mean, it's ridiculous what all he's achieved, fame and fortune, but yet still so empty. And so to hear his story and to hear how he fell into addiction, and like you're going to talk about regarding acceptance and belonging, because at the end of the day, that's what everybody wants, and that's what everybody strives for and longs for, is for those two things. I think it's just so powerful. And as he goes into what he mentioned at our Ignite Men's Impact weekend a couple months back in August was that he said, I was broken, Zach, far before I put on the uniform. Mm-hmm. We only got to see his brokenness, just expounded upon in the media. But we didn't get to hear the story of what really did break him and shape him and kind of unfold this trajectory of his life. And so you get to hear that today in his testimony up front. Yeah. And you get to understand, okay, that's why maybe some of the decisions were made, because he was going for something else. But then you also get to hear about the freedom that Christ brings, right? The freedom of the spirit that Christ offers us, rather than the bondage of the flesh that he was once walking in. And I was just mentioning that Brandon Heath song, I'm Not Who I Was. It reminds me so much of who Daryl is because, man, one day he was this person really far away from God, really lost. In the next, because of the grace and the power and the forgiveness and the love and the acceptance of Jesus, here he is literally ministering all across the world, a completely different individual. And only God can do those things. What do you think, Brooke?
That's so true. Yeah, Zach is so right. Guys, you cannot miss this testimony that Daryl's about to give. It is powerful. It is real. And just the fact that he is just such an absolute baller, all-star athlete, and he just is sharing his real story. It's just real. And the pieces of his story that have created this hurt and brokenness within him and how he responded to that in different seasons is just really powerful. Something that stood out to me when listening to it was Daryl says, just because you have a uniform, that does not make you well. Just because you have a uniform, that does not make you well. And he's saying this in context of going into the big leagues. He finally gets what he wanted. Like you said, Zach, he's achieving these things. Number one draft pick. Like, come on.
That's insane.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
He's winning all these championships. And we look to these things we do for healing.
Yeah.
In the broken parts of us that need to be accepted and need to be healed. And he's saying, this does not bring healing. And what this just immediately brought to mind was John 5, when Jesus sees the paralyzed man. And Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And what's so powerful about that is, although we try, rookie of the year does not make us well. Like Daryl said, that uniform does not make us well. This relationship that we want to work so bad, that we think is gonna fulfill us and make us one, it will not make us well. That raise, that starting spot will not make us well.
Come on.
The only thing that can bring the healing and acceptance and belovedness that we seek is Jesus. And Jesus offers that to us. He says, Brookie, Zach, do you want to be made well? Because if you do, he is there with open arms. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. He will redeem and restore us through his blood on the cross and through his resurrection. And so that's just something that is so cool that Daryl lives out now that he has been born again and redeemed. And something that he now shares and spreads. So, Build Different podcast community, you cannot miss this story. It's coming up next after this quick break.
Want to learn more from Zach? You can invite him to speak at your next event. Zach travels all over the nation, inspiring leaders young and old, from students to athletes, military personnel, and more. Zach is passionate about challenging others to push past their limits and lead a built different life. To book Zach for your next event, you can visit ZachClinton.com. That's ZachClinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Mr. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Zach. It's good to be back with you.
Man, this is awesome, just being able to be here at the AACC Waymaker World Conference here in Orlando, Florida with you, and just sitting down with one of my favorite baseball legends. You truly are an icon. I mean, won four World Series championships. You were the number one overall draft pick in the 1980 MLB draft. Crazy stuff right there. I mean, that's insane just to rattle off about yourself and probably to hear on your end. But sir, what I know about life is that everybody has a story, right? Everybody's always backwater that either shapes or infects the trajectory of your life. Sir, let's go way back in your story, right? Back to the old Crenshaw High days. What was life like for you, sir, growing up in LA?
Well, it was pretty hard because of a dysfunctional situation. You know, I had a raging father who was a raging alcoholic, and it was just really crazy growing up and being around that, you know, day after day, you know, in my younger days. And you just never knew who was coming home. And that was really challenging, you know, to be a kid, because I had this sweet little mother that, you know, was just a blessing, that loved us and cared for her kids. And then you have this kind of monster on the other side,
right,
that can walk in the house and the whole house can be turned upside down. And it was when I was about 14 years old, it was turned upside down. For the last time he came in drunk and loud, and my brother and my other brother, Mike and Ron, we woke up and my other brother, Mike, just said, "Why don't you just get out of here and leave us alone?" So he pulls out a shotgun talking about he's gonna kill the whole family. And we go into action. Had it not been for my mother, she was the only one that knew that she had took the shells out of the shotgun. We didn't know that.
Wow.
So we were serious about, this is it. This is going to happen tonight.
Right.
It's going to be, it could be a real tragedy right here in our lives. And my brother Ronnie grabbed a butcher knife, I grabbed a frying pan, and he was chasing my brother around the table. And he's like, "Well, what did you say?" And, you know, he's just trying to get after him. We was just like standing there, we was like ready to go. And my mother looked at us and she's like, "Get out." You know, and we knew the look, you know, because she pointed at us and like, "Get out of the house." She said, "Go to the neighbor house." And we was like, "No, we're not going anywhere." And she was like, "Yes, you are." And she was strong with it. And we realized that we needed to get out. And we got out. And I could tell you what happened from that point. We never saw him again after that. I could always say, but it's just the pain, you know, the pain of that night left us in a place where my mother could have saw her kids, you know, kill their own father. And these are real stories, because this is what really happens in people's lives. I think people only see the success of an athlete, but they don't know the depth of where they come from and what happens in their life and what triggers all these other emotionals, these feelings and things that one go through. And it's just so much there, you know, so much to peel off, like you're peeling a banana, you know,
right?
You got to peel it off, you know, to eat the banana because you know it's good. And, you know, we're peeling off life and you don't know if it's good because you live in a house that you never know what it's going to be. And that's what it was like for us, you know. And had it not been for my mother, I don't know where we would be. You know, when I look back and reflect on that, and what a beautiful woman to raise five kids by herself, you know, after after he was gone, and what a struggle it really was for her to see her have to go through that and see her kids go through that.
Well, Mr. Darrell, first off, thank you so much for just the vulnerability and sharing that story, even, because I know probably even just reliving it, going back and sharing it, it's painful. And like you said, growing up as a kid in that type of household and the inconsistency, right? And then the absence of a dad in your life. I mean, that is hard, and that's some painful, real stuff that a lot of people go through. So that's why I appreciate you sharing that. And something, though, that you really held on to and grasped onto during that time, maybe saw it as an outlet, was sports. And you found a love and a passion in the midst of that pain for two sports in particular, baseball and basketball. And you were a standout in both. Can you tell us what those years were like, just being, understanding that you were the superstar and all eyes were on you?
Well, that's a good question. And I mean, it was a great feeling to be able to go through that period in that time of life, you know, because of really trying to identify yourself and understand who you are, being multi-talented and playing at such a high level. And I think basketball was really good for me because our basketball coaches were very disciplined. And that taught me a lot, because if you acted out and you acted out in school or missed practice or missed something, next practice you come to, you won't get to practice. You have to run suicides all day, run lines all day. So there were a lot of times, you know, that I had to be able to do that because I, you know, got in trouble, you know, in school and, you know, maybe mouthing off to a teacher or something. And, and they put you out of class and, you know, the basketball coach find out there you are on the line running suicides all day. And then the coach would be like saying a lot of things like I bet you won't act up in that class again, you know, and you think about it. You think about that. The discipline is so important when you're young, because all athletes, you know, have this great talent about themselves, and they believe in themselves, and they believe, oh, I got it going on. I could do things my way.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the case, you know, when you have good coaches. And I think my basketball coaches were so good, and my baseball coach was really good too.
Yeah.
He was kind of the same way, you know, with that discipline order that he had that, you know, brought back, you know, structure. You know, even though, you know, to be on the teams, you had to have, you know, some real discipline to be able to know that you got to follow the rules.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys had talent and were multi-talented, but they couldn't follow the rules. And guess what? They got kicked off the ball club.
Yep.
And you have to move on. And then you see them around the school, which was funny because they really want to be a part of the team, and they're not a part of the team anymore. They're just looking at you and looking at all the other players that, and coming to the games watching you play. And, and they could have had that same opportunity, but you had to go through that whole process. So I was really grateful for that, you know, being able to play basketball and baseball and get that kind of discipline in high school.
Yeah, and I think that speaks into as well the importance of a coach. Because, I mean, like you said, in your home life, right, you didn't have a dad, so there wasn't that much structure coming from even a male influence. And then the coach, though, is able to implant some discipline and some structure in your life, which was probably a blessing during those years for you. Am I right?
No question about it. I mean, I think people don't understand that coaches will have the greatest impact on your life because they spend more time around you.
I agree.
You know, as an athlete, and people, I think a lot of times people don't recognize that the impact that they're going to have is not just they're not just coaching you to play. They're coaching you to learn about life. And I was really grateful for that fact that I had that in high school, because I didn't have any male figures around me growing up because my father disappeared. I didn't have like uncles or anybody, you know, coming around saying, hey, you're going to get in a lot of trouble when you're not making these decisions.
Right.
So that was an absence from my life, you know, and I was always out there in the midst of a field all by myself trying to figure it out at a young age. And I did get into a lot of things. You know, I got into a lot of things early in life that I really didn't see myself being that person because my mother didn't raise me like that.
Right.
So why was I like that?
Right.
You know, it was the dysfunction that was going on in the inside, you know, because I had this athletic body and ability to play sports, but I was real broken down on the inside. And I think a lot of times people don't understand the importance of what coaches really bring to you and how they elevate you to the next level of thinking.
Absolutely. Coaches are very, very important. Mr. Darrell, you then go on, like I mentioned earlier, the number one overall pick in the 1980 MLB draft to the New York Mets. And you honestly, you make your way up. A lot of people spend a lot of time in the minors, right? You make your way up quickly. 2.5 years, you're already making your professional debut in the big stage under the bright lights. Sir, as a young man, really, still at that time, what was it like with the stardom and the fame and all the success that you were having early on? How easy is it, help our listeners understand how easy it is to lose yourself and honestly get caught up under the bright lights and the fame and all of that?
It's very easy to lose yourself and get caught up. And I was nervous, you know, because I was young. I was 21. And it was my dream, you know, to get to the big leagues and play. I didn't know it would be that soon.
Right.
So the expectations were high, and plus it was New York City, so it's a whole different place.
Oh,
and I didn't realize how fast New York City was, and the temptations and the lights, and and you know, you can really easy find yourself running down the wrong roads once you get to a place like that. And once I got there, I realized that this is going to be a little bit more difficult than I thought it was, you know, far as playing wise, because the competition level was real, you know, and I think a lot of times we don't know how real it is when you play through the minor leagues, and once you get to the next level and step into the big leagues, because everybody there can play, you know, and everybody's good at what they do, and that means you're going to have to sharpen your skills and going to have to raise your level of play to another level. And the reason why I say that, because I came in as a young player thinking it was just going to, you know, it was going to be handed to me, and it, and it really wasn't. You know, it was like my coach Jim Frey, you know, was my hitting coach at the time, 1983, and I just remember it, and I was supposed to be at the ballpark early, and he told me to be there like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and here I come like 3:30, you know, strolling in, and he comes to me in my locker, he goes, I'm never gonna wait for you again, ever. He says, if you want to be a big league ball player and learn how to play at this level, you need to be at this ballpark at 2 o'clock every day. And from that day forward, I was at the ballpark at 2 o'clock, and I was there working. And he says, you got to work your butt off to become better. And he really taught me what it was going to take to be a major league ball player, to be successful. I wouldn't have not went on to win Rookie of the Year had it not been for him.
Wow.
You know, and I will never forget that. And I just remember I was thinking, Zach, I was thinking, I got a chance to call him, and I heard he was real sick and he was about to pass away. And I got a chance to call him. I got a chance to thank him.
Wow.
I just said, Jim, you have no idea. I wouldn't have never became the player if it was not for you. Right. If it was not for you making me understand what it was going to be like to be able to be successful at this level. You know, because a lot of times you can come in here with a lot of talent and you think it's just going to work. And a lot of players do that and it doesn't work out for them. But you made me work and you made me believe in myself and you helped me get to the place of becoming the player I was. And then he passed away. And I was just like, I was thanking God that I had an opportunity to thank him for that.
Amen. What a blessing that was, I'm sure, to have people like him speak into your life to not only make you the baseball player that you were, but now the man that you are today. Seriously. I mean, it's a blessing to see where you've come from, and that's kind of what I want to dive into here. You know, ESPN, they once wrote something about you, and it said, while Strawberry emerged as one of the game's brightest stars, his personal life became a mess. Life started spinning sideways for you, Mr. Darryl. A lot of things may have happened, maybe some choices that you weren't proud of. But I want to help our listeners understand, too, how things from a young age, things that you learn from a young age and the experiences that you had from a young age can then shape or traject where you actually end up. So, sir, can you help us understand maybe the correlation or even the connection of what you went through to then what you were going through at that time in your life?
Well, the connection of it is so real.
Yeah.
It's real life.
Exactly.
It's going to play out in your life.
That's right.
At some point. Doesn't matter who you are. Don't matter how successful you are, how talented you are. And that's why you see so many athletes, you know, go through it because of the brokenness of their life and the home that they come from. When you come from a place where you have been rejected, it's very painful.
Oh yeah.
You know, and being talented does not take care of everything.
Right. You look for acceptance.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. You know, and you look to be a part of, and you want to fit in. And that's really what it was for me. I fell into the big leagues at an early age, and I just wanted to be a part of the guys. And I felt like these guys accepted me. My father rejected me. These guys accepted me.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I have arrived now because now these guys are my friends. And really, I didn't understand it because it's not only being in the big leagues, but it's a business too.
That's right.
And I think I didn't know anything about the business side of it. A lot of guys been there for a long time.
Yeah.
They were on their way out. And we was not a good team, so they were having a lot of fun, and they didn't care if we were winning or losing. I just got like frustrated, you know, being around it, you know, like the fact we were losing all the time. We were a last place team, and here it is. I was young, I was 21, and I wanted to come here and just excel right away and say, well, hey, look at me. And it didn't happen like that, but I would go on that year and end up winning Rookie of the Year after played so well, and then. It still was a process from after that, you know, and I think a lot of times people don't think, you know, you're going to do this every year. It's going to be that easy. And it's not, you know, and I had to continue to work and I had to continue to focus. I had to continue to grow, you know, I had to continue to grow physically, mentally, you know, and get that part of the game down packed. And once I got that and I developed that inside of me, then I was pretty good at what I was doing. And but at the same time, this whole time I was playing, I was so broken and confused because my father had rejected me and left me and my family, you know, cripple as we were nothing. And people thought, well, because you had a uniform on, that should make you well. No, that just made me a baseball player. That didn't make me well. That didn't make me a man. I didn't have life skills. I didn't, you know, I was just living just to be living just because it was there and the opportunity was there. Because once you get there and you achieve that and you become a star, okay, this is what they tell you. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, and but they don't tell you the consequences come behind doing whatever you want. There's a price to pay. You know, they allow you to do whatever you want because now they're paying you millions of dollars and they don't have the right to tell you what to do with your life and you have to figure it out. And I got started early on the wrong track, you know, when I got introduced to cocaine early from one of the veteran players who sent me on the back of the plane, my first road trip, and said, welcome to the big leagues, kids. And there it was. I got introduced to drugs. And then they took me out to the club that night, and they showed me the life and said, well, this is the big leagues. You can have any girl you want. And I was like, wow, man. I was like, man, right. I thought, I have truly arrived now.
Right.
Little did I know that it was going to play a big part in my life and become the destructive behavior of my life, because you don't never think it will. But as long as you stay there, you continue to spiral out of control in your life.
That's right. And I think it's so important. That's why I wanted to start out by your childhood and where you began, because it's so easy to point the finger at somebody and say, why in the world are you making these horrible decisions, right? But nobody understands the life that came before those decisions, right? The past, the hardships that you experienced, the pain that you went through too. But then going through that, sir, and having experienced everything that you did, what are some of the lessons that you maybe learned in the darkest valleys of your life that really have helped shape and propel you to places that you probably had no idea you'd ever go?
Well, I think the lessons that I learned was from my mother, because she was a well-rounded woman. She had a great foundation, great belief system, and she had principles. So she didn't raise me wrong. You know, I made a choice to go the heathen lifestyle.
Yeah.
So you're either going to learn from that lifestyle that you made a choice to go into, or you won't learn. And I've seen so many guys never learn who they are.
Yeah,
they never learn to take the uniform off. So many guys get so consumed with the fact that the uniform and the identity, that's who I am. And I realized that that wasn't who I was. And even though I was rich and famous, I realized I wasn't caught up into the fame. I wasn't caught up being rich. And, you know, I was always, you know, a person like my mother had raised me, was to give back and help other people and love other people and care about other people. I just had, you know, the own personal low self-esteem about my own self, but at the same time I realized that other people were more important than me, because I didn't value myself as being important. I just realized that I was just a gifted athlete that had talent, but who am I at the end of the day, you know? And when I look back over all of it, I think the greatest lessons I really learned through it all was to walk in humility because of my mother. And she taught me that along the road, even though the road of struggling and the trials and tribulations, she always taught me to get up and don't quit. And I think those were the goodest lessons I could ever learn, is not quitting. Because I remember quitting in high school and taking off the uniform and throwing it in the coach's face and quitting. And I realized from that day forward that I would never do that again, no matter what was going to come through. Life challenges, just don't give up, don't quit, because you never know what you can achieve if you quit. If you quit, then you can never achieve anything.
That's right.
If you don't quit, you can achieve just about anything in life, and it doesn't have to do with just being in sports. It's just life in general if you don't quit. And I think that was a valuable lesson for me to learn, is not to ever quit again.
Never quit again. That's so powerful. And Mr. Darrell, now seeing all the amazing things that you're doing, you're going around and speaking all over the world, really. And man, you have done so much for the kingdom of the Lord. And that's what I want to dive into here, is this Jesus that you came into a relationship with. How has he changed your life and just transformed you completely from the inside out? And all the stuff that we just talked about, right? All the bad decisions, all the past, all the pain, how has he brought redemption into who Darrell Strawberry is today?
Well, the only way he can bring redemption into your life is you got to know who he is.
That's right.
I think so many of us in our society, and even Christians, they just know his name, but they deny the power. They deny him going to the tomb and hanging on the cross and getting up and being resurrected and doing all the things that he do. You know, that he's alive and well, he does miracles. You know, he's the miracle maker of a life. You know, he's not looking at your weakness, he's not looking at your faults, he's looking at your strength, he's looking at what he can actually bring to you if he can get into the, if he can get you to get into the relationship with him.
That's the
part I think so many of us lack, you know, the relationship. And the relationship is like spending time with him. You know, what is spending time? That means I can't be too busy. Busy doing what? You know, so many of us are busy, and I was so busy in my life, busy doing nothing. I was just chasing after the wind, you know, and not until I got in, dove into the Word of God. Just like Billy Graham always said, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Scriptures. And Christians are not having victory because they don't know the Word of God. They don't know Scriptures. They don't know how they work. They don't know how to use them in their everyday life. And That's what Jesus is. And, you know, Jesus teaches you how to live everyday life just like he lived. You know, he was a man, but he was a holy man. He was separate. He didn't fall short. He knew that we would all fall short. So he wasn't going to judge us from our falling short like everybody else would. You know, he was going to judge us of the character that we would develop by spending quality time with him and getting to know him and learning how to walk with him.
That's right.
You know, daily, you know, and denying ourselves and picking up our cross and not seeing yourself better than anybody else, right. Just seeing yourself as a sinner who's been saved by grace. Mm. You know, and I think a lot of times, Zach, a lot of people don't understand grace. They just say grace, but they don't understand it. Grace, what is grace? Grace is something you don't deserve, but he gives it to you anyway.
That's right.
Now, that's when you know how good he is, because I don't deserve his grace, but he's giving it
but
to
he's
me
still
anyway.
Giving it. That's
yeah.
Right.
And so you learn to walk in and you learn to actually live out the principles. And I think it is the word of God, you know. I think people chase after so many other things to try to fulfill the empty void on the inside of us, and I did it for so many years too, just like everybody else. But it was the word of God. When I reverted back to that and finally got there, that's when I got committed, and that's when I knew I was in the right place.
Mr. Darrell, I know there's a listener out there who's going through a deep and dark valley in their life, right? They're struggling. They're searching. They don't know where to put their identity. They know of this Jesus, like you said, but it's more of just a religion. They don't understand the relationship aspect, and maybe they feel like it's too late or they're too far gone. What's the word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would breathe and speak into that person today?
Well, I think it's never too late.
That's right.
And I think what a lot of times a lot of people think is their life don't matter. Your life matters to him.
Yes.
You know, and that's the key of getting the victory is understanding that he's not concerned about your shortcoming. He's concerned about where he's going to take you.
Amen.
You know, and if people out there can focus on not where they're at, but where I want to be, and you work towards that. Mm. And what I mean, work towards that, that means you have to become a different person. Mm. That means you're going to have to walk with people who talk a different way.
Yeah.
You know, who act a different way, who live a different way. You're going to have to see that to be able to understand that first. Mm. And I think when you see that, then you see it in somebody else, because the reason I am the way I am today is because I saw it in my wife. God showed me through her clearly when she was there, and she was always diving in and spending time and with God every morning and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, why am I not there at that place like she is, God? And God says, because she spends time with me. And that's when I went into the room by myself and put that phone away and turn that television off. And that's when I dove in to spend time. And if you want to know him, you got to spend time with him.
Amen.
And if you don't spend time with him, you don't get to know him. And that's what the struggle has been with so many of us. We straddle the fence. We say his name. We say we know him, but we won't spend the time to really get into the relationship. So I would just encourage someone who might not think they can't get there. You can get there, but you're going to have to do the work.
Amen. And I think your story, Mr. Darrell, reminds me of a quote that I once heard, and it said that the beauty of salvation, or the beauty of the Lord, is that he will meet you right where you're at, but then he loves you so much that he's not going to allow you to stay there. And that's the piece, like you're saying, you got to put in the work. You don't want to stay where you once were. You want to be made new and allow God to do that in and through you. Mr. Darrell, one thing I want to touch on real quick to all of our listeners before we leave. You and your wife, Tracy, you have a big heart and a passion for helping people overcome addiction. You guys founded the Darrell Strawberry Foundation and Strawberry Ministries. I want you to talk about that for a second, help our listeners understand where they can find that, but also on ESPN right now, you guys have something crazy going on, the Once Upon a Time in Queens, everything that's going on for you right now. Where can our listeners really plug in and just help support you guys and find out more?
Well, our ministry is findingyourway.com, and my wife created that. She's very creative. I'm not that smart, so, you know. So she created the ministry, and she said, well, we're going to call it this, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to help people. And so I just kind of got on board with her and decided, you know, it's so awesome when you become a team and you love God and you love people, and you don't look at people. You don't look at their problems. You look at the solution, which is Jesus, that will eventually help them if we can walk with them and get them to understand the relationship is so more important than the struggle that you go through and everything. And that's a process too.
That's right.
And I'm glad we realized that, because my whole life was going through the process. And I have to go back and say, I sat for 7 years to be discipled. Discipleship is so important for people to get discipled. And I think when people realize that the discipleship is important, then they learn to get into that. And then they learn who they become in Christ and everything. And that's what brought about our ministry. And the 30 for 30 is just on ESPN. It's just it's just coming out. It's a great film. I think it's being produced about the 80s of what we were like. And we weren't just a ball club. We were really crazy, you know. And and it showed that last night. I got a chance to see part one and part two. I was like, oh, my God, we were really, really crazy. And then my kids never saw me. So I said, did you guys watch it? They said, no, I didn't watch it, Dad. I said, well, ask your mom. You got to watch it. I said, your dad was a little crazy. I just want to let you know back then. So they was like, no, you were really crazy, Dad. I was like, I was really crazy. But I think it's a great project that's going to, you know, really speak to a lot of, you know, a lot of professional teams and sports and stuff like that, that even though you win and you come together like that, the importance of being a team more than anything, I think that's what you're going to see about it. We were a team, you know, we loved and cared for each other, and we had each other back no matter how crazy we were and what we went through. And we ended up winning in 1986, and we just ended up bonding together in those years of playing sports together.
Man, I can't wait to just plug in and to watch that, sir. I really can't, to see how crazy my man Daryl Strawberry was. But, Mr. Daryl, I just want to say one more time, just thank you so much for what you do, for your heart and your passion to love and to serve others and to lead people to the foot of the cross. With everything you've been through, you truly are a blessing. So, Mr. Daryl, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Zach. It's always great being with you.
Yes, sir.
Bless you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that interview, Zach, was so powerful. I think one of my favorite parts of that interview was when he was talking about Tracy, his wife, and just the impact that her faith had on him, and how he said, when he was like, Lord, why is like Tracy so like close with you? And the Lord was like, she spends time with me, Daryl. Like, she is intimate with me. And this intimacy that I was hearing reminded me of something I was learning in my research class with Dr. Lowe. Shout out, Dr. Lowe.
Come on, Dr. Lowe.
We were going through Ephesians 4, which is the passage on how the body of Christ is joint and knit together, like ligaments in a body. We're all interconnected. And there's this environment and ecology going on within the body of Christ. And he told us that the word for joint or knit together that they use in the Greek is hafe. And what hafe means is it's actually talking about a contagious connection. So, like, similar to how a disease spreads rampantly from one person to another, it's that same concept of, like, contagiously affecting the people around you. And that's immediately what I thought of with Tracy, was because Daryl had the Holy Spirit within him, because Tracy has the Holy Spirit living within her, because she was pursuing things of the Lord, she was fixing her eyes on Jesus and pursuing that intimate time with him. This contagious connection was coming off of her and affecting Daryl in this positive way that actually pushed him toward Jesus as well. And I think what's cool about that is, as we draw nearer to Jesus, sometimes we just think about it in terms of us becoming more mature in him. But what that's saying is, us drawing near to Jesus actually draws every other member of the body of Christ closer to Jesus as well. Because we all have this contagious connection amidst each other. So not only am I growing in Christ for my own peace, benefit, goodness, just because he's beautiful, I draw near to him. It's actually helping the people around me, my brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And so I thought that was such an encouragement to hear about Tracy doing that. And it made me want to check up on my life, like, hey, how am I affecting the my brothers and sisters around me, my gospel partners, like we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast?
Such powerful stuff, Brooke. And I love what you're saying about drawing near to God, because I think there may be a listener out there today who feels like they're too far gone, or maybe they're too far down the wrong road to be pursued by God. But I want you to understand that God is a God that relentlessly pursues you. Like, he chases after you recklessly. Nothing stops him. No matter where you go, he is right there following you. And sometimes that just looks like putting your foot in the ground and turning around and welcoming his warm embrace.
Yes.
And I think James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So if you feel distant from God, if you feel disappointed in him or discouraged, and you're not in that relationship that maybe someone else looks like they're in with God, and it looks like they're more intimate with him than you are, try pressing in closer. You know what I mean? Like, you're never too far gone. And I think Daryl mentions that in the interview. He laughs when I say, what if somebody said, you know, they feel too far gone? He's like, well, you're never too far gone, or it's never too late to change your life for God to change your life. But it all starts with that intimate relationship with him. Put your foot in the ground and welcome his warm embrace, because he is always chasing you. And that's the beauty of it, is that you can just be you. You can be authentic, you can be real, you can be genuine, and realize that you are loved and you are chosen and you are valued by the very same God that knows your faults and knows your deepest and darkest secrets, and he still picks you. So one thing that we wanted to do here as we ended, as like I said, it's Thanksgiving week, is my dad, every time we eat Thanksgiving dinner with my large extended family, he always sits down, because my grandfather did the same thing, is he reads Psalm 100. So I just wanted to read these five quick verses. They say, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing or with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Guys, Built Different community and family, all of our listeners out there, Brooke and I wish you nothing but the best and the happiest of Thanksgivings. Yes. We pray that you guys would have an amazing time eating dinner, stuffing your faces full of food, but that you would understand too that you are loved and that you are invited to a seat at God's table, a part of his family, ultimately. That's the best family that we can possibly think of. That's the table, Brooke, that I want to go to for my dinner, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Hi there. This is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.